Romans chapter 5, verse 12, simplifying. Notice how we capitalized simplifying. How man's becoming depraved harmonizes with Ezekiel chapter 18. A big debate exists in Christendom over the meaning of Romans 5:12 that goes like this. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One side of the debate holds that the verse teaches, number one, Adam's federal headship, that when one is conceived, God creates his soul with a depraved nature. While Augustine taught Adam's seminal headship, that when Adam sinned, everyone's will sinned in Adam's will, so that each is born in sin. However, both of these views strain against God's teaching in Ezekiel chapter 18, 1-32, that a son is not responsible for his father's act of sin, what leads to a challenge of the unity and hence the divine inspiration of the Bible. So, we thus view Romans 5:12 in the Greek text and simplify, that's the emphasis tonight, it to understand how it harmonizes with Ezekiel 18. Last Sunday night, we went through this, and I apparently gave a heavy dose of Greek, and even my wife didn't understand it. So I'm seeking to review it, but this is extremely important because we need to understand how the Word of God harmonizes with itself. Otherwise, people come to doubt the truthfulness of God's Word, and so that's why I'm doing this once again. Okay, the Greek phrase that translates the important English phrase, for that all have sinned, that's the phrase, that's the last phrase of the verse, that's the battleground, is F, is the word for, ho is the word for that, pontus is the word for all, and hamartan is have sinned. Now, there are 26 ways to interpret F. There are 10 ways to interpret ho, some literal and some figurative. But with F and ho used together as one phrase in this verse, in this context, this phrase can be interpreted only 5 ways. However, amid these 5 waves are differing meanings for F and or for ho. So that's the complexity that we have to deal with, but we have to deal with it in order to understand it. So we view the 5 ways as simplified as much as we can. One can interpret F ho to mean in him, that is, in the one man mentioned at the start of Romans 5:12. You see where Romans 5:12 at the top where I darkened it into, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that one man, all have sinned. Okay? Yet that one man antecedent, ho, is very far from the F ho phrase itself, so that translation is unlikely. Whenever you have a preposition and it's modifying a specific noun, him, like George, or her, Mary, you want to have the him and the her close to the George or the Mary. You don't want to start Mary at the first of the sentence and then way at the end you refer to her, because you say her, who? That's what you're thinking. So, in other words, if you interpret F ho to mean in him, it's so far removed from the by one man that it's very unlikely. And so we discard that. Second, one can make ho, the word that, refer to death. In other words, to say, so death passed upon men for that, for death all have sinned. But doing that would leave sin resulting from death instead of death resulting from sin, like the scripture teaches everywhere else. It doesn't make sense for death to produce sin. The Bible teaches that in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. That's the order. Sin first, and then death is the result of that. So this interpretation would thus err. It's in violation of the rest of Scripture. Now, the reason we cover number one and we cover number two is we're looking at all the possible chance ways of interpreting. If we're going to interpret God's word accurately, we have to turn over every stone. There's no room for a mistake when it comes to handling God's word. God's people are making decisions in their lives based upon God's word. So that's why we went through section one and section two. The real battleground is numbers 3, 4, and 5. Third, the heretical Pelagian theological view. And I've explained it in parentheses what Pelagianism is. That holds that all men are born without sin, but become sinners by post-birth acts of sin and are saved by their good works. In other words, a Pelagian believes that you're not conceived in sin at all. In fact, when the baby is born, it's truly innocent. It's without sin. And that baby is innocent until he commits his first act of sin. Now, who knows when the baby commits that first act of sin? Maybe it's in the first 10 minutes, you know, because he blows his temper or whatever. Or maybe it's not until some other time. But that's what they say. And since you fell into sin by your act of sin, then by your own good acts, you can work yourself out of sin and gain your salvation. That's the Pelagian view. Believe it or not, the Roman Catholic Church holds to semi-Pelagianism. They believe that you can save yourself by your good works and your faith. And it's actually Pelagianism. So the heretical Pelagian theological view that holds all men are born without sin but become sinners by post-birth acts of sin and are saved by good works, that position interprets the phrase epho to be an idiom. That's a figure of speech. To mean because, to claim that death passed on all because all men have sinned in their own persons. In other words, since people have sinned after they've been born, that's how death has come upon everybody. In other words, you bring the death upon yourself whenever you sin, whether you're a little child or whether you're three or whatever the deal is. However, this view is an error because some infants die without committing actions of sin. There are babies who die within the first trimester, or their miscarriage maybe just a couple of hours after they have been, they become fetuses and so forth. So there's, and that they wouldn't probably have the mentality at that time. The brain wouldn't be developed, so they wouldn't understand sin and so forth. So they would have died without committing an act of sin. So the very fact that infants die without committing acts of sin completely demolishes the Pelagian view. Second, Romans chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, the next two verses, teach that death reigned over those who had not sinned like Adam had sinned. So that's an implication that there are a lot of people who lived that didn't sin like Adam did, and Paul's telling us right there, you weren't sinning in Adam. To me, that does away with the whole seminal view of Augustine. You didn't sin like Adam did. Then five times in the context, Paul claims one man's sin caused the many to die so that death came by Adam's one act of sin, not when you act your own sin out after you're born. And then the entire epistle of Romans argues against the self-merit idea of Pelagian theology, the idea that you can save yourself by your own works. The whole epistle of Paul is struggling very, very hard to demonstrate that's just not true. That doesn't work. So we discard the first three. Now we're down to just two options. Number four, one can treat epho for that as an idiom with causal meaning, just as we did in number three, but to claim that all sinned in Adam's sin. And that's the interpretation that is held by those who hold either to the federal headship or to the seminal headship views. In other words, both of those hold to that fourth view. However, Paul uses the Romans 5:12 verb hamartan, sinned, elsewhere never of one trespass in Adam, but as personal acts of sin by individuals after they were born. In other words, whenever Paul uses hamartan, he's never referring to Adam's sin coming upon everybody. He's talking about individual acts of sin that individual people who are born, after they're born, commit those acts of sin. So that actually argues very strongly against that fourth view. So we come down to the fifth view. One can view hamartin sin as personal actions of sin, but without Pelagian theology. In other words, without holding that one is born sinless and then is saved by works. This is how you do it. One can view hamartin as acts of sin rising out of a sin nature that was inherited from Adam by interpreting F-ho to be an idiom with causal force. Now, that's what we've done in number three. That's what we've also done in number four. But with the inferential sense. Now, an inferential sense is a sense that develops an idea, takes it from where you're at, and adds something to it. Now, we speak this way. For example, where the words for that, F-ho, implies further, for this reason that. Okay? That's what an inference is. You could translate it epi tu to hati, but it's actually an inferential. Paul would thus claim that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death spread unto everybody, as is evidenced by the fact that all have since committed acts of sin. This is the preferred view because it treats hamartin as personal acts of sin, like Paul's other uses of that word. Also, it explains an abrupt break in thought in Romans 5:13 and 14. Paul felt driven to teach men sinned between Adam and the law, though the law that defines sin as sin had not yet been given. See, he just states in verse 12, for that all have committed acts of sin. Now he's got to explain how everybody has committed acts of sin before the law comes, because Paul has established that you don't have sin defined as sin until the law comes. So what do you do with all those people who are dying between Adam and Moses? There's no law. How in the world did they sin? Well, Paul says they did sin. It's just that the law hadn't defined sin as sin until Moses came. But men were sinning. The proof of the fact is they were dying. They had inherited Adam's sin. So what we believe, and I take the fifth view, I agree entirely with Dr. Hendrickson at this particular point, that what Paul is claiming is one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death spread unto all men by way of Adam's nature, as is seen by the fact that everybody since then commits acts of sin. I'll never forget one of her children the day that they were born. The child had been born, and my wife was given the child, this brand new baby. I think he was just a half hour or maybe an hour old. They cleaned him up, brought him into her, and she was holding him up here. She put the baby down on her lap, so he wasn't being held snugly like he had been held when he was in the womb. He'd felt everything around him. Put him down here. The baby had a tantrum. I don't like it down here. I want you to hold me up there again. And actually blew it. You could see this. And both Nadine and I said, ooh, we have a little sin nature here, don't we? So she gathered the baby up here. Brand new baby. Brand new. But threw a temper tantrum because he didn't want to be held out in the open. He wanted to be held up tight. That's the way newborn babies like it. So we're born with a sin nature. And then because of that, we commit acts of sin. So Romans 5:12 claims that all men are depraved by inheriting Adam's sin nature. And Ezekiel 18 claims that all are accountable for their own acts of sin after that. Now, God holds us accountable for sin because we're born in sin. He also holds us accountable for our own acts of sin. Now, is that fair? From our human perspective, we say, that's not fair. You know, I'm born. I didn't commit Adam's act of sin. It's actually a terrible state that we're in. But God knows that, and he loves us so much. He sent his son to die for us, and so he's already covered the sin nature that we inherit. He also covers our acts of sin. So all we have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ. And that sin nature issue, and being born in sin, and then our acts of sin, all of them are covered by the cross of Jesus. So when people stand before the Lord, God's going to say, why didn't you accept my son? They say, and if they try to say, well, you gave me a sin nature, you allowed me to be born with a sin nature, God said, I already covered that in the cross. In fact, I already covered all the sins you've ever done in your life. They're already covered in the cross. Why didn't you believe in the Son, my Son of the God? And they're going to have no argument. It's already there. So, yes, is it? Technically, you can say, yeah, it's not fair. I'm born with a sin nature. But the thing is, God's already covered that under the cross. So I'm without excuse. So the mercy of God goes the extra mile, and he reaches out in grace to reach out to us and to take care of that issue of sin. So in application, may we hold to the doctrine of original sin by inheriting Adam's sin nature, and that God holds each of us accountable for acts of sin. So in other words, there's complete harmony between Ezekiel 18 that says everyone's responsible for his own acts of sin, and Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that tells us that we also inherited a sin nature, so we're born in sin. So we need to uphold the divine inspiration of Scripture.